HD Smartcast. You're listening to a Hindustan Times production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Welcome to A View from the Stands, a podcast series in which we discuss the new normal in the world of sports. I'm Aditya Iyer, and with me is the national sports editor of HD, Rudraneel Sengupta.
It's been 4 months of nearly non-stop cricket for the Indian cricket team.
Neatly bracketed by two IPLs, the one in late 2020 and the upcoming one in the second week of April.
And what fun it has all been.
Starting with some incredible losses like the one in Adelaide and ending with some pretty remarkable victories in Australia and then later against England in India. But perhaps the most awesome achievement of them all, for me personally, was the lone draw in the 22 matches that India played across formats since the end of November last year, which of course went down in Sydney, the draw that is. This is pretty much what my co-host Rudra and I are here to do in this episode, which is review the big block of cricket that we just witnessed and try and recollect all the superlative stuff that went down. If not all, then at least some of it that stood out for us personally. Let me start by saying that of all the insane things that happened on this roller coaster ride, Rudra, Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane, Chennai, Motera, and of course, you know, the rise of all those crazy debutants, the thing that stood out for me the most was Rishabh Pant. I'm going to just leave it at that for the moment because I know we're going to be talking about Pant later on in this episode. So time to head over to you and get your one-word answer before we start the review.
Oh, so before I say what stood out for me, I mean, which is a difficult pick any which way you look at it. I also want to put forward the proposition that this perhaps was the most compelling, if not the greatest, 4 months of cricket that we have ever witnessed as India fans.
I agree.
I don't know. There you go. You agree, right? So, I mean, it's been completely insane. In fact, like, I mean, it doesn't matter what format it was, whether it was tests or T20s or ODIs. And we've always talked about this kind of which format is relevant, what is not, do tests draw crowds, are ODIs even a thing anymore now with, you know, like so many T20 leagues and T20 World Cups and all of that. But seriously, I really forgot about these things, you know, these became background, completely went into the background for me. I didn't even know what format I was watching after some time. It was just, okay, of course, I knew they were wearing whites, so they were playing tests, but everything was so interesting. It was just cricket for me, right? So unbelievable. I think this for me, it is definitely the greatest 4 months I've seen in Indian cricket. And what stood out for me, I won't pick one player. I'll just pick the debutants. Yeah. I think all of the debutants,
all of them
the
together,
way they performed, the way they stood up, and you know, the moment they got that chance, starting from Washington Sundar to Shardul Thakur, all the way through Akshar Patel, and you know, so all the way till Surya Kumar Yadav making his T20 debut, and you know, the first match he gets a chance to bat. On his debut match, he didn't get a chance to bat. The second match, he started off with a six, and in his third
Jofra
match
Archer.
Of Jofra Archer, it was so casually done. It was just swivel flick out of the park. And then in his third match, he hit the second ball for a six, and that just, I was completely gobsmacked by this kind of stuff, and every one of them did it. So I don't know if I can pick one person over the other.
Sure. But the reason why he didn't get to bat, Surya Kumar Yadav, that is, in his first game, was because the other debutant in Ishan Kishan basically made it count. And which brings me to the point of wondering whether is there anything like too many wicket keepers? I mean, like, we have something like, I think, 85 in our talent pool that can make it to the cricket team at any given point of time. KL Rahul, Rishabh Pant, Ishan Kishan, Riddhiman Saha, Sanju Samson, maybe. Like, this list is endless. Like, what is going on, Rudra?
Yeah, it is really great. And the thing is that, you know, and different people have different skill sets. But what's nice to see is that they're all trying to bridge those gaps. So, for example, with Rishabh, we've seen he was really not a very competent wicketkeeper to begin with. And you saw that in the first match he played in Australia, in the second match. But you could also perceptibly see that he was improving match by match in his wicketkeeping. So much so that by the time the England series came around, he was quite a different wicketkeeper from what he started off as in Australia. So yeah, it is really great to see. I don't think know if you can have too many wicketkeepers, but
absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, no,
but you know what? So in Sydney, in the first innings in the Sydney Test, I think Pant dropped debutant Will Pukowski twice. Right, this just came to me, and I remember talking to someone who really gets his cricket, and that person told me that I don't think anyone is ever going to, at that moment, right? Don't think anyone is ever going to forgive or forget the fact that Pant did this in this test match, and that's possibly curtains for his keeping career. I have a feeling that now, on the 31st of March 2021, Pant himself perhaps has forgotten that he's dropped Pukowski twice in that match, right? Because everything that happened after that, and I completely don't blame this person I was talking to, because we all kind of felt that to be the case, that, you know, Pant is basically really riding his luck here, right? Like, and it's not going to last too much longer. That rope that the selectors had thrown at him, the proverbial one, was shortening by the minute. And it wasn't looking good at all after the IPL ended. You know, he didn't play Adelaide because Riddhiman Saha was out there. My God, what have we seen? Like, you know, he's possibly the most exciting cricketer. He always was an exciting cricketer, but he's possibly the most exciting cricketer in the world today, like way above the Fab Four.
I know. I mean, and you've just given me, like, if you had to write a book about these last 4 months and maybe with Rishabh Pant as the protagonist, I would call that book, My God, What Have We Seen? I think that's a great title, and I think it really sums up the entire situation with Rishabh Pant. Let's just keep talking about Pant now that we're in it.
You know what? You know, that's the problem with talking about Rishabh Pant. He immediately swings us and like ends up like completely like overwhelming the conversation, right? Like, yeah. Have you ever had a conversation on Pant which hasn't it starts with the simple digression? And then the entire topic becomes about Pant, because that's how much there is to talk about. So please, let's not take this podcast down the same route.
I've forgotten all about the other 85 wicket keepers that we have named, for example. I'm being very unfair to them, but it's just not just, you know, because he's so infectious as well. It's like just, you know, all the smiling and joking and laughing and the absolutely weird talk from behind the stumps, the singing and all of that. And he's got a real wit on him, this fellow. You know, I mean, he's really, really funny in a situationally stand-up comic manner, which is great for me. You know, I love seeing these things. And the thing is, you know, if any broadcasters are ever listening to our podcast, I would like to say that just like start something called the Pant Mic. You know, just a little segment where you just have, when Pant is keeping,
absolutely,
have the mic, just have the mic on, the stump mic on, and don't then forget about all the other sounds. Let's just hear what he's talking about, what he's singing. I think that'll be great. So let's just do a little bit of Pant and then we'll go ahead.
Okay, fine. I would just like to start off by saying that we at Hindustan Times were pretty privileged to, you know, get an interview with a Zoom call interview with Pant immediately after Brisbane. And you were talking about his wit. And the moment you said that, I remembered this line that he gave us, which was one of us asked him, you know, like those sixes when you took on Lyon, of course, in Sydney and then later in Brisbane. When you took on Lyon, Lyon pushed his fielders deep and then you challenged those fielders as well, right? Like long on and long off. And he had this sly little smile on his face and he said, Bhaiya, you know, beyond the boundary ropes, there are no fielders. So if you hit the ball well enough, you're only challenging the crowd.
And it's also that, the way he says these things, right? Like coming from someone else, this could be an idiotic, abrasive statement to make. You're like, you know, but coming from Pant, it's just too good. It's a bit like Zlatan Ibrahimovic, you know, like, when he says, "I am Zlatan." From anyone else, it might be just awful. But from him, you know, this the amount of humor that goes behind it. So how lightheartedly he's taking this. So that's a really cool thing about Pant. So here's what I want to say about Pant.
Okay. Yeah.
That's the only thing I want to say. And this connects to what you were talking about in terms of, well, when he dropped Will Pukowski twice, and you know, and people questioned about whether his career is again going to
all of us did.
Because anyway, he was in shambles before he started, so his career was already nosediving when that happened. So it's fair enough to think like that. But here's what I've seen, what I think I'm seeing from the outside, a change in the way the Indian team works, a change in kind of the mental approach to the game, where it's not so much about mistakes and accountability and blame or the pressure to play or get dropped or things like that, which is always the usual way any competitive sporting team works, because that's the environment, right? But
fair point.
Yeah, but I think that there is a difference here in this Indian team where, and this pertains to how the debutants are making their debuts as well, is that there's a relaxation of these kind of the strictness, this accountability and performance related things. And I think people are just being allowed to be, and if there are mistakes, very gently and without any kind of blaming or shaming or any of those things, those mistakes are being worked on, in the sense that, you know, most mistakes are just about skills, right? And unless that the person who's making those mistakes is hell-bent not to learn those skills, that's a different problem altogether. And I think those problems very easily coaches and management can see that, okay, this guy doesn't really want to improve. That's a different thing. But if you want to improve, then making skill-based mistakes is not a problem. Because all you have to do is start learning a little bit, right?
Yeah. So, and this pertains to Pant as well. Again, I don't know why everything that we're saying kind of like, you know, is bringing Pants to my mind. Like I said,
this is about Pant. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That you saw his wicket-keeping mistakes.
I was just going to come to that. Yeah, exactly.
Those are all skill-based mistakes. So all you have to do is to take one skill at a time. And then, you know, break it down into little pieces and then try and work with the person to improve those skills. And sure enough, those skills will improve. There's no two ways about it. That's how it is. You know, you put in the practice, you put in the right kind of practice and effort, you're bound to get better at anything, really.
Yeah. Yeah. Well said. Pant's ODI career was on thin ice, not just after the IPL, but, you know, since the end of the World Cup in 2019, it wasn't going too well for him. He managed to turn that around in Pune as well by batting at number four. And big credit here to the think tank, Coach Ravi Shastri. I know he gets a lot of flack for a lot of things, but, you know, he kind of explained his role behind the scenes in that press conference that he held immediately after the test series against England ended, where he kind of explained, you know, what he was doing in the bubble and his role in it. And, you know, knowing when to kind of like be a little stern and strict with players such as Pant and Sundar and when not to be so, right? Mm. Just everything about this team, it's just like, you know, a lot of positives, right? From Rohit Sharma as the opener in Test cricket, he's completely turned his career around now, not just with those innings in Australia along with Shubman Gill, but he was quite easily the best player of spin on those spinning tracks that, you know, we curated for England in India, that 160 in Chennai in the second test, a couple of knocks after that in Ahmedabad, just fabulous stuff. Your thoughts?
Oh yeah, I mean, I think Rohit has been a giant with the bat, and you know, we've always known how incredibly skilled he is, and we've always seen it. But there's always been this thing about whether he's consistent enough, and you see these incredible flashes of genius, and then there's a little bit of a lull. I think that consistency is something, again, I think he's really worked on, and yep. You see him succeed more often than not, which is really all the international cricket is about. I mean, if you can do that, you're a great, and he is really amazing to watch as a batsman. And I mean, talking of Rohit Sharma, we've just got so many amazing batsmen, just in terms of how they, the fluidity with which they play, the fearlessness with which they approach the shots. Kohli, of course, Rohit Sharma, of course, but also, Ishan Kishan or Surya Kumar Yadav, or even Hardik Pandya, who's because of that very complicated back surgery he had, which obviously required a very long kind of, very graded recovery period, even though he played cricket through that period. I really believe that it's only now that his fitness is completely his own thing. Like, it's not anymore about recovery or protecting his back. And I think that is going to make a difference to how he bats as well. And we know that he's incredibly skilled and incredibly fearless. For example, I'm really excited about what he's going to do in the IPL now. Because I think that we are going to see him in absolute full flow. No worries about any fitness. So we've got such a beautiful lineup of batsmen. Shubman Gill is the other thing. I mean, how good is he to watch? I mean, just the drives, those little punches off the back foot, amazing.
Absolutely. And don't forget that if our Bombay correspondents are to be believed, then we've kind of seen, they've certainly seen a return in Prithvi Shaw as well, who kind of lost his way a little bit after the tests in Adelaide. He was dropped, but Sanjeev Samyal wrote this fabulous piece where he said that, Greg Chappell had gotten in touch with Prithvi immediately the test. Right? Because Prithvi didn't come back to India. He was still in Australia. Because of the bubble and all of that, he didn't really get to have a session with Chappell. But, Chappell did sort him out mentally a little bit, asked him to think of all the stuff that he was doing right earlier. And, I think a little bit with his footwork and his backlift as well. And we saw a completely different Shaw in the Vijay Hazare Trophy, where he hit, I think, 900 runs and hit a double 100 and, as Bombay kind of marched towards the title. But it's just that's the other thing about this team, right, Rudra? I mean, and when I mean team, I mean teams across formats. It's very hard to keep someone down for too long. We saw KL Rahul went through, this weirdish patch in the T20s in Ahmedabad, but then bounced right back in the one days.
Back in the ODIs. Incredible innings, great innings of serious quality and hitting and pacing of the innings, controlling that kind of batting lineup, all of that. He did everything wonderfully. But again, Prithvi Shaw, for example, you said that he, after he was dropped, he remained with the team. And the thing is, after Greg Chappell sort of spoke to him about his problems and all of that, if you remember, we kept seeing these images and visuals that were coming out of Australia of the Indian team at the nets, and you would often see or hear about how Prithvi Shaw spent a couple of hours in the nets with Ravi Shastri and Vikram Rathore, our batting coach, standing right by him and watching his progress and talking to him. And so there was a concerted effort, even though he was not going to be back in the team, which was quite sure, but the management still continue to work with him behind the scenes to iron out everything that was troubling him. So we had Prithvi Shaw returning at the Vijay Hazare, and Bhuvaneshwar Kumar. I mean, look at how brilliant he was in this in this series, the ODI series. He was the only bowler. Every single bowler used in the ODI series went for six or above an over. Bhuvaneshwar Kumar's total average was below five, and he picked up six wickets.
Wow! Right? Can we quickly gush a little bit about Prasidh Krishna as well? You also reminded of Shane Bond when you first watched that action?
Well, I wasn't. That was not my first thought. But what I did think was that it was very, very fluid. It was a very beautiful, seamless action, which seems very smooth. And it's not. There's no hard landing. There's no hard follow through. So he's clearly using his body really well. And he's about 6'4" or something, which makes him a really tall fast bowler. So for somebody that tall to have a smooth action like that, man, that really means trouble for the batsman, and it means that he can have a very long career in terms of his fitness.
Absolutely.
He was a brilliant find as well. I mean, he did so well, despite the fact that this is the best ODI team in the world. Every single ODI was, people were scoring 300 plus totals. And through that batting mayhem, you had Prasidh Krishna and your Bhuvaneshwar Kumar doing so brilliantly.
Absolutely.
I mean, is there any such thing, as you said, if there is such a thing as too many wicketkeepers? There is clearly such a thing as too many great fast bowlers.
Absolutely.
Drowning in them.
Yeah, yeah. So, but on the Shane Bond front, for kids of a certain generation, that non-bowling arm drop-off was, it's trademark Bond, right? And when you see it on anybody else, just the way that... that arm after the load up like drops off. I think there were just a bunch of us of the same age where we were all like Shane Bond, Shane Bond, Shane Bond. Those are the three messages like back to back on that WhatsApp group. And we were all like, yeah, man. I mean, of course, like we know where he was inspired from and who he was inspired from almost immediately. It's just, I think it's a generational thing. But yes, I mean, Bhuvi coming back in the absence of so many guys. There was no Mohammad Shami. There was no Jasprit Bumrah who got married. There was no Umesh Yadav. And suddenly, we have unearthed even more fast bowlers who are ready to do the job. And we've gotten back some from the past, like Bhuvi, who had kind of, been... unearthed some and brought some back from the past, like Bhuvi, who had kind of disappeared for a little while. So yeah, spot on, Rudra, as always. It's really hard for us to do a review and take individual names because there are just so many of them. And I just very, very quickly want to add, I just noticed that we've been gushing and gushing and gushing about great Indian cricketers in the last 4 months. We even gushed about Prithvi Shaw, who got a 0 and a 1 in the only game that he played for India. And we haven't gushed about Virat Kohli. What are the chances? It just tells you. And good on Kohli too, because he's been playing people in his position, especially in T20 cricket, because of his World T20 year.
I mean, yeah, absolutely. I think that's a fabulous point. I mean, to be captain and to give up your absolutely your preferred position, a position in which you have done great things, and to experiment up and down the order, promote yourself as an opener. These are amazing things. I mean, I think he's, it's difficult to gush about Kohli because really he's a little beyond gushing right now.
He's a little beyond gushing. But we can gush about his managerial skills at least, because like you said, that takes some doing, right? Right? To float up and down the order. But that's always been the beauty of Kohli, I think, in the sense that he treats these bilaterals for what they are, basically warm-ups to a big ICC event. And especially in the year of an ICC event like this one in 2021, you know that he's going to be experimenting the hell out of his talent pool and with his strategies. And that heavily involves shuffling the batting order. But yes, final thoughts, Rudra, on the last 4 months before we lose all of them to different IPL teams?
Oh, well, final thought is that, I want the IPL to be over as soon as possible, and I want the Indian team to get back together.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Get back together. And when they get back together, it's going to be for the big one. It's going to be for the World Test Championship final in Southampton.
Yes. So, World Test Championship final. And then, I mean, that's really something I'm looking forward to. And then the World T20. So, oof.
Yeah.
As another colleague of ours, Shom, has written in a recent article, you know, that India has been one of the, if not the best team in the world in the last three or four years, just based on the number of, I mean, we have the most wins of any teams in across formats. But the only thing that we haven't really done in these 4 or 5 years is win the big trophies. And it's this cycle coming up with the World Test Championship final, going into the World T20 and the World Cup, the ODI World Cup as well in 2023. This is the cycle where we can change that and maybe just win everything.
Fabulous. So just a quick summary of the last 4 months. We played 8 test matches, won 5 of them, lost 2 and drew 1. We played 6 ODIs, won 3 and lost 3. And in a T20 World Cup here, the team played 8 T20Is, won 5 and lost 3. And yeah, so winning record in almost all of them except in the ODIs. But, you know, this is the year where ODIs perhaps matter the least. It's the year of the World T20 and the first ever World Test Championship final. So I think they've kind of got the priorities right. And now, yeah, like we said earlier, we kind of like lose them to different IPL teams. They're all going to be battling each other. And when they're back, we will be back too with more Indian cricket. But until then, from the next episode on, it's going to be IPL time. Thanks for listening.
This was an episode of A View from the Stands. Do like and follow us on at HT Smartcast on Facebook, Instagram and Twitter, or write to us on podcasts@hindustantimes.com. You can listen to more podcasts by logging on to htsmartcast.com.
This was a Hindustan Times production brought to you by HT Smartcast.
HT Smartcast.